The Giant's Gamble. Chapter 8. The Game Master. As the riders approached through the darkness, Killian held up a hand as they slowed and shouted, "Hail, travelers, and well met!" The lead rider motioned for them to halt, and they brought their horses around them. "Hail," the man said, raising his torch to see their faces. "What are you doing out here? Don't you know there are giants about?" "We know," Thea said, brushing her thick black hair back from her face. "Have you seen more?"
"3, down the road."
The man nodded his head in the direction they'd come.
"How far down the road?" Killian asked.
"A few miles north of here," the human told him, clearing his throat. "These are not safe times to be out on the road. I suggest you find somewhere safe to make camp."
Killian expressed his thanks for the warning with a gracious nod, and the man gave them one last long look, then rode off with his men, torches lighting their night's journey.
"We should clear out," Killian suggested. "The sun will be up in a few hours, and we don't want more giants stumbling into our path unless we're ready for it."
They all agreed and packed up their tent and other belongings, then made their way across the road and down the other side, staying hidden as much as possible as the sun eventually peeked over the horizon, casting their world in a pale orange glow. A few hours after dawn, they came across the recent battlefield scattered with the bodies of 3 giants and at least 2 dozen wild people, men and women from the area who lived a nomadic lifestyle.
"Frost giants," Thea said as she inspected the fallen body of one of the giants. It had grayish-blue skin and dead, ice-blue eyes open and staring. There was no sign of life anywhere.
Opal began scanning the battlefield, picking up broken armor and casting it aside, then following the mess of footprints and ruined brown grasses.
"It looks like a large group of wild people ambushed these 3 giants. They left their dead behind, but most of them left and headed south."
"You could read all that from the ground?" Rune asked, impressed. Opal nodded happily.
"We should check all the bodies," Thea said, digging around in one of the giants' fallen packs. "It looks like the wild people didn't care too much for what the giants had on them."
Evelyn jogged over to another giant's body and began rummaging through its belongings. A few minutes later, they had made a pile with an oddment of items. Rune sifted through the junk. There were 2 wooden oars meant for a small rowboat, which he placed in their bag of holding, a dead fish, a live chicken found by Evelyn, which Rune named Sheila, but Evelyn insisted they eat for supper, and a few broken spears and scattered arrows. Bran went through the arrows and inspected them all, but none of them seemed to be intact. Rune bent to tie a string around Sheila's neck. The hen clucked at him, and he patted her white head affectionately. "If we keep her around, we could have eggs for breakfast." Bran crossed his arms.
"I don't think chickens are very quiet."
Just then, there was a flash and a pop, and a large hand grabbed Evelyn's shoulder. The girl spun around, a hidden dagger appearing in her hand. Everyone turned and spun to look at the stranger, who had appeared from thin air. Rune immediately drew his short bow, and Thea slid her sword from its sheath. The figure was a tall, cat-like person with thick, tiger-striped fur and large clawed hands whose finger knuckles bent the wrong way, back into his hand rather than toward his palm.
"Put the weapons down," the tiger man said with a chuckle. "Those wouldn't hurt me even if you tried."
"I'm willing to try," Thea said through clenched teeth, keeping her blade raised. "Who are you?"
The tiger man stared at her for a second, blinked, then looked down at Evelyn.
"Evelyn, I came here to warn you."
"Warn me?"
the white-haired girl said, lowering her dagger and taking a step back.
"Warn me about what?"
"Your stepmother is trying to kill you," he said matter-of-factly. "So, I want you to kill her first."
Evelyn barely skipped a beat before saying,
"I guess I could do that."
"Why does she want you dead?" Thea asked, and Evelyn shrugged.
"Well," Killian said hesitantly, a glowing orb crackling in his lowered hand. "Why don't you kill her then if you can't be hurt? Why come to Evelyn?"
The tiger man smiled patronizingly.
"It's not for me to do,"
then snapped his fingers and disappeared. They all looked around, keeping their weapons aloft just in case the stranger reappeared.
"Evelyn, do you know who that was?"
Thea asked, her tone sharp.
"And what's wrong with your stepmother?"
Rune lowered his bow once he was sure the Tiger Man was really gone. Evelyn shrugged.
I don't know what that was, but I do hate my stepmother, so I guess I could kill her.
Whoa, Rune said. We can't just go around killing people without a reason, Evelyn. Why does she need to be killed? Is she a bad person?
I think so, Evelyn said. She and my dad are both mean people, but she is especially. They were always mean to me. What happened to your real mom?
Opal asked softly.
My dad killed her, Evelyn said.
Is that why you ran away? Thea asked.
Evelyn shrugged again.
No, not really.
Killian looked around at the scattered battlefield again, then said, We should keep going to Everland. Okay, Evelyn grabbed Sheila from the ground and, with a twist of her tiny hands, broke the chicken's neck before Rune could stop her.
I'm starving. Anyone else?
On their continued journey toward Everland, they argued with Evelyn about why the girl wanted her stepmother dead, but she gave them very little to discuss. When they finally reached the large city, they entered through one of the five gates. The city was split in twain by a river with two wide bridges spanning over it. As they entered, Evelyn said quietly,
This is where I grew up. It looks the same.
They looked at her, and Thea said,
Perhaps if your stepmother wants you dead, we should disguise you?
All right, Evelyn said, and Thea pulled her into an alley and began painting the girl's face and covered her hair. They returned a few minutes later, Evelyn looking very much like a boy with her hood on.
I say we go to the market first and gather any supplies we need, Killian said. Then we can look for the half-orc Durathra told us about.
They joined the small crowd of people milling through the outdoor market and came away an hour later with several interesting items purchased. Bran brandished a new crossbow, showing Rune the fine wood stain, and Thea found a fine longbow and replaced it for her short bow. Evelyn purchased a pile of knickknacks, including a pipe that blew bubbles, and Killian found a thick leather belt to wear over his shoulder to hold as many daggers. Rune bought a large head of broccoli, a gnome-made music box, and a tinkerer's set. He hadn't tinkered in many years, but he had been spending a lot of time thinking about his past lately, and he felt a pull toward old things. Perhaps he could imitate the make of the music box he'd bought. Once they were satisfied with their time spent shopping, Rune found a shopkeeper and asked him to point them to Danavar's house to find Drow Thalev. The man gave them a list of directions, and they set off. The house was easy to spot, nestled as it was amongst brown and gray houses, itself painted a rich red with yellow window panes. Killian knocked, and the door was answered shortly by a man dressed in plain clothes.
We're here to see Drow Thalev, the sorcerer told him.
Right this way, the man said, and without asking any questions, he led them into the parlor.
They stood awkwardly as the man departed, and luckily, they didn't wait long. A tall half-orc with pale green skin and a brown leather eye patch over one eye entered the room and greeted Killian first.
You are most welcome, travelers, the half-orc said in a friendly voice, seating himself and gesturing for them to do the same on the two benches against the wall. How can I help you?
Well, Killian began, crossing his legs. We have just traveled from Tribor, where we spoke with the town's Lord Protector, Durathra. She told us to come to Everland and speak with you for help against the giants.
Giants, the half-orc said musingly.
The town was attacked by two fire giants, Thea explained. Many people died.
That is indeed sad news, Drow said, but what is your interest in the giants?
Well, Killian said awkwardly, our hope is to repair the Ordning and get things back to the way they were.
And what exactly did Durathra tell you?
Killian reached into his coat and pulled out the badge they had been given from the Lord Protector. The half-orc gestured for him to hand it over, and he inspected the badge carefully before slipping it into his own pocket.
Wait, can I have that back? Killian said.
No, the half-orc decided. Durathra said you could help us travel faster, Rune said in annoyance. Is that true?
Perhaps, Drow said, gesturing to the plain man who'd answered the door.
Bring us the wine.
The man dipped out of the room and returned a minute later with several goblets of wine.
I don't have much to tell you about the giants, he explained, but I know someone who can help you with your travel.
Drow reached over and took a goblet and passed it to Killian. Rune snatched it out of Killian's hand and looked in at the deep red wine, then tilted the cup and drained it. With a sudden pop, the gnome disappeared.
Where did he go? Killian demanded of the half-orc, standing immediately.
The gnome, along with the goblet of wine, had vanished.
Well, if the little one had only waited for an explanation, Drow rolled his eyes and took another goblet of wine, raising it.
This wine will bring us to Moongleam Tower. That is where we may discuss things further.
To your health, Thea said, taking a cup and raising it to her companions, then draining the contents.
The elf disappeared with a pop. Everyone else, including Drawl, each drank and each disappeared. Bran waited until all of them were gone. The half-elf stared down at the wine and took a deep breath, gulping it down in one. Rune stared around at the circular room. A few cats with closed feathered wings batted around a piece of fur or were licking themselves clean. One was perched on a chair, preening its wings. At an arched window stood a man cloaked in deep blue robes. He turned when Rune popped into existence.
Where am I? Rune asked, eyeing the tall man nervously.
Where is Drow? The man asked.
Good question. I'm sure he'll be right along. As he said that, Thea popped into the room, followed by Killian, Drow, Opal, Evelyn, and, finally, Bran.
Now that we're all here, Drow began, shooting Rune a look, then folding his hands behind his back and pacing over to where the man stood.
We have brought you to Moongleam Tower to speak privately about our organization, the Harpers.
This, he gestured to the man, is the mage Crone Valhair.
What are the Harpers? Rune asked, the name unfamiliar to him.
Crone spoke up. We are a group of men and women interested in keeping a political balance in the land of Faerûn.
Great, politics, Rune snorted, and Killian shot him a nervous look.
The Lord Protector of Tribor sent us to speak with you on matters of transport, and perhaps aid in defeating the giants, Killian said.
Then our interests align, Crone said. For the Harpers do not want the shattering of the giants' ordning to continue on as it has.
So you can help us? Thea asked excitedly.
You must be the wizard, Crone said to the elf, walking across the round room to a table and reaching into a drawer, pulling out a box.
He walked back to Thea and handed it to her. Thea opened the box and looked inside.
Scrolls? She said.
Spells, Crone told her, for you to learn and use. They should help you against the giants.
Thank you, she said seriously, clutching the box to her chest.
Now, about the transport, Drow said, gesturing to the intricate stonework on the floor. These are the transportation circles. If you stand in one and our mage here touches the consecutive circle on the wall here, he gestured to the painted engravings in the wall, which were a smaller version of what they saw on the floor. Then you will be sent to whichever place you stand in on the circle.
Wait, Rune said, confused. So someone else has to be here to touch the wall so the rest of us can go, but the person touching the wall doesn't go with us?
Right, the half-orc said.
Where do the circles go?
Opal asked, stepping lightly over the intricate patterns in the ground.
Each is designated for a different place,
the mage began pointing to each circle on the ground.
This is to Mirobar, then Everland, here Neverwinter, Yartar, Waterdeep, and the last to Loudwater.
Whoa, Rune said. How do we get back here to the tower?
You can't, the mage said.
So what's the point in having all the circles in this place?
Well, you have to find a different group of transportation circles and find one to bring you to Everland if you wish to return here via magical transport.
But wait, Rune scratched his head, still confused. Why wouldn't you just make a mobile transportation circle that you can take with you that can take you anywhere?
That would be too easy, Rune, Killian sighed. I don't think magic works like that.
I guess, Rune shrugged. Now, Drawl continued as if there had been no interruption, about the giants. There's not much advice we can give you except that you should kill the bad ones.
How do we know which ones are bad? Opal asked.
I guess whichever ones you see doing bad things, the half-orc shrugged. Badness isn't particular to one's race, I suppose. Bran crossed his arms. That's not overly helpful.
Do you have any advice on how we can repair the ordning? Thea asked. Or how we can find King Hecaton?
Drow looked at Crone, who said,
I'm afraid not.
Can you at least tell us what city we should visit next? Rune pressed. The half-orc and mage looked at them, their expressions giving away nothing.
We found out the fire giants are searching for some ancient machinery made of adamantium, Thea explained. Have you or your organization heard about that?
That, Crone said, I can tell you about.
The machine is a giant adamantium weapon known as the Vaenendod. It was used long ago in the war between the giants and the dragons, and was later destroyed and scattered over the land.
They're digging up the pieces, Killian told the mage, and they have adamantium staves to help them.
That's not good, the mage muttered.
What are the harpers doing to stop the giants? Rune asked critically. He turned and saw Evelyn had picked up one of the cats with wings and was stroking its fur, eliciting purrs of contentment.
Young man, Drell began, the harpers protect the people of Faerun, but we are not all-powerful.
The world is on the edge of destruction, Killian said slowly.
This is all we can give you for now, the mage said softly. Now where would you like to travel?
He walked toward the engraved wall and peered up at the intricate designs. We can't leave Everlyn just yet, Rune said, looking again at Evelyn. We have some family business to take care of, but we'll be back.
How do we get out of the tower?
Take the stairs, Drow said, gesturing to a door Rune hadn't noticed before.
Wait, I thought we were in, like, another plane of existence or something, Rune said.
What made you think that? The half-orc asked, tilting his head.
Well, why did we drink the wine if we could have just used the stairs?
Drow shrugged. The Harpers are a secret organization, and we'd like to keep the visitors of the tower discreet.
Rune shrugged as well and grabbed Opal's hand, hauling her to the door.
Okay, let's go.
Shall we visit Danavar's house when we wish to visit the tower again? Killian asked.
Crone raised a hand. Use the stairs to the tower. Just be subtle.
Oh, I'm excellent at that, Rune assured him.
Wait, the mage said softly, looking down at Evelyn, who didn't seem to want to leave the cat.
Would you like to keep one of the tressums?
Evelyn nodded emphatically.
Take it, the mage put a friendly hand on her shoulder. We have too many as it is.
Come, Beatrice, Rune said to the tressum, and the cat leapt out of Evelyn's arms and trotted after Rune and Opal.
You're naming her Beatrice? Thea groaned, following them to the door.
I kind of like it, Bran said with a small smile. Killian chuckled and followed them last out of the door. Rune dug a hand into one of his pockets and flipped Killian his badge from Durathra. He'd slipped it out of Drow's coat as they passed him.
Thanks, Killian smiled. I can always count on you to pickpocket anyone.
So, Evan, Rune began, looking over at Evelyn. She still looked like a boy, so they decided to call her Evan while in Everland. What is your family name? The girl looked around nervously as they descended the stairs to the tower.
It's Elenbryn.
And where does your family live? Thea asked.
Evelyn paused on the stairs and pointed out one of the small, round windows in the side of the tower. There was a massive house with white pillars and green lawns. It was near the edge of the city, across the river, and was an impressive structure compared to most in Everland, although there were a few other larger homes around it.
That's where they live? Rune said in surprise. Your parents are rich.
Yeah, I guess so, the girl said, continuing down the stairs as everyone took their turn looking out at the manor.
I say we do some reconnaissance before rushing in and killing your stepmom, Rune said as they reached the door and stepped outside into the bright sun.
Is she deserving of a life? Bran asked, his dark eyes unblinking.
I'm fine with killing her. I can do it on my own, she insisted.
That's not a reason, Rune pointed out. As a man of healing, I insist we find out more about the Elenbryns before acting.
Killian dropped a hand on his shoulder and said,
You're right, friend.
Great, Rune nodded, because I think I know exactly how we should do it.
As long as it doesn't involve me playing your servant again, Killian sighed.
Rune and Killian approached the manor, striding confidently. The lawns and gardens were eerily pristine as they approached. Rune had on his disguise illusion and displayed himself as a richly dressed dwarf with a trimmed beard and silver beads twisted into his hair. Killian had on the fine robe he'd taken from the brothel in Tribor, and his hair was nicely combed back. The Elenbryns were in the business of trading, Evelyn informed them, so they decided to walk in under the guise of being importers of goods. Rune loved this part of the game most, playing someone else and lying out of his. Killian knocked on the front door, and a moment later, it creaked open a few inches to reveal the strip of a man's face.
Can I help you? The man sounded suspicious.
Rune cleared his throat, putting on a thick dwarvish accent.
He'd always liked imitating the accents of others, even if he wasn't very good at it.
Yes, hello. We are looking for your master, Elenbryn. We wish to speak with him on matters of trade.
The man behind the door looked at him skeptically. We're from the Northern Fleet Trading Company, Killian added, straightening his coat and meeting the man's gaze firmly. The man opened the door fully, and they could see that he was carrying a spear and wearing impressive armor. Rune wondered why a simple house guard would need to wear such an elaborate getup.
What are your names? The man asked. I'm George, Killian said, touching a hand to his chest. And this is
Gilbert, Rune said, and at the same moment Killian said, Patrick.
That's right, Rune said quickly. Gilbert Patrick is my name, and we don't like to be kept waiting, so if you could just bring us to your master... Very well, come with me.
The man walked stiff-backed through the foyer, leading them to a closed wooden door. He knocked, and a muffled voice from inside told him to enter.
Wait here, the man said, slipping into the room and exchanging words with whoever was inside.
Finally, the door opened again, and they were ushered through. They entered an impressively grand study with a large window and impeccably organized bookshelves that were thoroughly dusted. Everything from the maps on the walls to the perfectly combed fibers of the rug under their feet seemed too pristine to be real. Rune was quite good at illusion magic, but whatever spell was making this house look intact was powerful indeed. A pale man with dark rings under his eyes and a long head of hair that was grayer than it was blonde gestured for them to sit in two fine leather chairs. He sat at a large oak desk, and behind him stood another well-armored guard. The one who'd let them in took his place behind him.
"Welcome, gentlemen," the man said in a tired voice. "I am Eldin Ellenbryn, master of this household."
Evelyn and Bran snuck around the manor, the girl directing him to a side entrance used by the servants. They crept along an empty hallway, turning right into a small powder room and holding their breaths as they waited for someone to pass.
"Does this place seem off to you?" Bran whispered to the girl. "It feels like strange magic."
Evelyn looked around the room, pulling back her hood and allowing her white hair to spill down. She touched the wall lightly with her fingertip, and it seemed to shimmer.
"You're right," the girl said. "Something's wrong."
She pulled her hair back and tied it.
"Come on,"
she said, leading the half-elf down the abandoned hallway to a set of winding stairs.
"We trade exotic woods, mostly," Rune told Eldin confidently.
"Yes," Killian added, "and we're looking to bring in new foreign investors, some trading companies from across the sea."
"Well, that does sound promising," Eldin said thoughtfully. "I would, of course, like to see your ledgers."
"Certainly," Rune raised his ringed finger. "However, we'd like to know who you're trading with to ensure they're trustworthy."
"Which I'm certain you are.
We've heard very good things about the Ellenbryns of Everland, and we'd like to meet the rest of the family before moving forward with this business relationship."
"Yes, yes," the man said wearily, rubbing his eyes. "I have a wife."
"And what's her name?" Killian asked.
"Mara Ellenbryn," Eldin said, and he seemed to hold back a shudder as he said the name.
"Could we meet her now?" Rune pressed, plastering a friendly smile onto his dwarven face.
Evelyn and Bran reached the top of the stairs to a pair of double doors, and one was slightly open. Evelyn peeked in and saw a woman lounging in a silk robe on a large throne-like blue velvet chair with intricate, gold-painted designs around its base. Without looking at Bran, Evelyn pushed open one of the doors and stepped into the center of the room, fists clenched. Bran jumped behind the other door before he could be seen. The woman held her robe tightly to her chest and stood with a startled expression.
"Who are you? What are you? Wait, Evelyn?"
She paused, squinting at the girl with her hair pulled back. Evelyn removed the tie from her hair, shaking it so it landed on her shoulders, glaring at the woman with cold eyes. The woman smiled.
"Fancy seeing you here," the woman said smugly, sitting back in her throne. "I suppose you've heard that I want you dead?" "What did I do to deserve your wrath?"
Evelyn asked, her voice emotionless.
"Oh, nothing you should concern yourself with, my dear," Mara said, waving her hand as if she'd been asked if she wanted a spot of tea.
"Tell me," Evelyn said quietly. Bran pressed himself between the door, listening but remaining hidden. He drew his crossbow and pressed a bolt into the mechanism, waiting. The woman cocked her head.
"No."
She waved her hand again, and this time the illusion around Ellenbryn Manor disappeared, revealing the skeleton of the once beautiful building in its place. Filth covered the floor, and the walls were stained with ash. The furniture was in disarray, and the tiled floor smashed in places. Rune stopped speaking immediately. The illusion of the pristine study suddenly vanished, replaced by dusty, mostly empty shelves, and ripped books strewn across the floor. The two guards standing behind Eldon suddenly transformed into reddish devil creatures with curled horns. If it was possible, Eldon Ellenbryn looked even more haggard than he had before. Rune snapped his fingers and sent a message to Thea and Opal, who were waiting outside the manor walls for any signal of trouble. "Come now," Rune said under his breath in the message in Thea's mind. "It was all an illusion. We're in trouble." He paused. "Oh, and don't bring the cat." Just as the three across from them started to realize the illusion had dropped, Killian stood and grabbed Rune by the arm, his hand shearing through the dwarf illusion, and threw up his other hand. Rune turned to see the two devil creatures raise their spears and leap over the desk before Killian's spell exploded in a thick fog. The devils and Eldon disappeared inside the fog, and Killian dragged Rune out of the room and slammed the door. "I called Thea," Rune gasped as they ran for the door, then noticed Bran at the top of the winding stairs behind one door. Bran stepped through the other door, out of sight. "Looks like Evelyn and Bran are still here," Killian said, glancing behind him. "Let's grab them." As they ran for the stairs, the front door slammed open, and Thea and Opal, with the Tressum cat following closely at their heels, stepped into the foyer. A second later, the door to the study burst apart in splinters as the two devil creatures jumped out. The six of them looked at each other, and Thea shot a line of flames which blasted the devils back a few steps. "Damned Cambians!" Thea cursed as the so-called Cambians clambered back to their feet, hissing. As the illusion around the manor disappeared, Mara's figure transformed into the naked form of a curvaceous woman with small red horns protruding from the front of her forehead. She stood tall and unfurled a pair of black, leathery wings and began to laugh as Evelyn drew her blades. Bran stepped into the room next to Evelyn.
"Ah, another one," Mara said smilingly. "You know, Evelyn, it's strange. I spent all these years trying to kill you, and now it turns out I needed you here to die."
"Is this still your stepmom?" Bran asked uncertainly, his crossbow loaded and aimed at the creature's naked chest.
"Yeah," Evelyn said, then her voice turned into a scream. "And she's still a bitch!"
With that, the white-haired girl's eyes glazed white. Mara put her hands to her temples for a moment, smiling again.
"Here comes your father," she said, then wavered slightly as whatever Evelyn's spell was took effect. She glared at her stepdaughter.
Evelyn raised her swords and charged the succubus, and Bran released a bolt at the woman's exposed breasts. Eldon Ellenbryn burst from the fog-shrouded study and ran past the Cambians at a full sprint for the stairs. Killian tried to trip him as he ran past, but he jumped over the sorcerer's legs and disappeared into the room upstairs. Rune summoned his ethereal middle finger and swatted at the Cambians while his duplicate form ran out of him and down the stairs toward Thea and Opal, ready to heal them if need be. Opal began throwing ice daggers on the Cambians, which exploded in ice shards behind them. They hissed but seemed unfazed. Their armor was thick and unbroken.
"These things won't be easy to kill," Killian said, turning his hands in the air and throwing a bolt of energy at one of the Cambians, which turned at his voice and began to charge up the stairs past Thea and Opal, ducking under their attacks.
Thea had small, burning rocks swirling around her, and she shot them at the Cambian as it ran. Killian grabbed Rune as they flew back and up the stairs several feet. Killian shot a blast of wind down the steps at the creature to knock him over, but it grabbed onto the railing to steady itself and began climbing with effort against the wind. Rune flicked a hand and turned invisible. Eldon shouldered past Evelyn, pushing her aside, and the girl fell back from the succubus as Mara grabbed him by the face and kissed him passionately. The kiss sucked a light of energy from his eyes and his mouth. His hair turned stark white and he dropped to the floor, dead. Evelyn cried out and got back to her feet just as Mara sidestepped from another of Bran's crossbow bolts. Opal howled and pounced, her massive direwolf shape slamming into the Cambian as it shot fire back at her and Thea. It slammed her in the side and sent her sprawling, and she leapt back to her feet and began circling the devil creature just as Thea and Killian shot streaks of lightning in opposite directions.
Opal felt herself fly back as crackling lightning ricocheted off the cambion and struck her in the chest. Rune ran, invisible, up the stairs and into the room in time to see Eldon drop to the floor, dead, and Evelyn get to her feet. Killian ran through the doors behind him, unaware of where his friend had gone, and stopped short when he saw the naked figure of a woman standing before a throne. Bran turned back to the sorcerer, who said, "I see you all have been busy. More incoming." With that, the sorcerer began to form another ball of energy in his hands. The succubus turned her gaze on Killian, and the sorcerer went still for a moment, a flicker in his ice-blue eyes as he redirected the bolt of energy at Evelyn. The girl turned and grimaced, and the bolt vanished. Then, Evelyn charged her stepmother, and the succubus slashed at the girl with her long black claws, leaving three bloody streaks across the girl's face. One of the cambions appeared at the top of the stairs with his spear and ran for Bran, who managed to turn his crossbow in time to send his bolt glancing off the creature's thick armor. Rune turned visible next to Killian, and the cambion turned his attention to the gnome as his ethereal hand slammed into the devil from behind. Rune smiled and took a few steps back, then saw a bluish, swirling portal appear behind the succubus, and she blew a kiss to Evelyn. "Good luck, dear," she said as she stepped back into the portal. At that moment, the Tiger Man appeared and threw up a hand, and the portal disappeared. The succubus turned on the Tiger Man and hissed. He jerked, his eyes making a strange movement. Evelyn used the distraction to slash at the woman, leaving a line of blood across her bare stomach. The succubus shuddered and grabbed her stomach. The cut was deep. Evelyn cut herself, her sword bursting into flame. Then she skewered the woman. She kicked her and she fell back, her wings cracking on impact. Evelyn put a boot on her right arm and began stabbing the succubus repeatedly in the torso until her arms were covered in thick blood up to the elbows. Rune barely ducked in time as the cambion he'd hit jabbed at him with his spear. Killian shot a firebolt back at the devil, and at the same moment it thrust with its spear. The spear caught Rune in the gut, and he stared down at it for a moment in shock, not quite sure why he couldn't feel it. Then there was pain. A second later, the cambion dropped, a crossbow bolt hitting its horn and breaking its neck. Rune fell back, unconscious, the spear still lodged inside him. Thea stood at the bottom of the stairs, Opal's direwolf form standing at her side, and she grabbed a fistful of the druid's fur and said, "Hold on," as the cambion shot a ball of fire at them. There was a loud, thunderous boom as Thea and Opal disappeared, then reappeared with a crackling boom at the top of the stairs. The explosion of their disappearance hit the cambion, and it exploded within its armor. A wisp of black curled up from the fallen armor and disappeared into a bluish, waving portal. Thea breathed in relief and turned to the open doors to see Killian floating at the back of the room with an unconscious gnome in his arms. The tiger creature with the backwards hands stood next to Evelyn over the fallen body of a naked woman with curled leather wings, her torso a gory mess. Killian dropped to the floor and set Rune down gently. "Opal," he said, looking at the direwolf, "can you heal him?" Opal transformed back to her Genasi form and ran to Rune's body. "Well," Evelyn said, the flames on her blades extinguishing, "I killed her," the girl said to the tiger person. Rune rubbed his chest and got to his feet with Killian's help, Opal completing her healing spell. "I'll take the eye back now," the tiger man said, holding out his backwards hand. Reluctantly, Evelyn pulled out the petrified eyeball she kept in her pocket and looked down at it. "Can't I keep it?" she asked sadly. "No, Evelyn," he said, and she handed it to him slowly. He smiled, then stepped over the body of the woman, whom Rune guessed was Evelyn's stepmother, and walked to the back of the blue velvet throne. He drew a stone sword from behind it and held it aloft, then took the petrified eyeball and placed it in the pommel of the sword where there was an empty space. In a flash, two large portals appeared on either side of him, and two terrifying creatures stepped out. The first creature was a giant horned monster with burnt orange-colored scales and matching wings. It held a greatsword crackling with blue lightning, and a whip made of fire in its other hand. The second creature was a tall red lizard with horns and folded wings holding a mace four times the size of Rune. "It's been way too long," the tiger man began in a friendly voice, gesturing for the two creatures to step up. "As we know, the rules of the game..." There was a flash, and a third portal appeared, the largest creature yet stepping out into the room. A lizard with green scales and a thick tail brandishing a sword.
"Ah, Kikabi," the tiger man raised his chin at the lizard. "What brings you here?"
"I'm here to represent the Dragon Lady,"
The monster replied in a low, gravelly voice.
I've never had three contestants before, the Tiger Man smiled, gesturing for him to step next to the others. Evelyn, I assume you will be staying for this as a gladiator, he asked the girl.
Evelyn stared at him, then shrugged.
All right, I guess I can do that.
What? They all said at once.
Excellent, he nodded approvingly. You may call me the Game Master.
He swept his hand around delightedly.
Evelyn, you are the prize. May the best fiend win.
Wait, Killian said quickly, walking around to stand by Evelyn. What do you mean she's the prize? I thought you said she would fight.
Why, yes, the Game Master said, staring at them blankly. If one of my fiends win, they shall claim Evelyn's soul as the prize.
I want to fight, Evelyn said softly.
No, you really don't, Killian insisted. You may have two squires of your choosing, the Game Master offered, looking over their group with discerning eyes.
Killian, Opal, Evelyn said, looking at the sorcerer and druid, I want you to fight with me.
Killian looked over to Rune nervously. Rune knew exactly what he was thinking. They wouldn't survive a fight against three Goliath lizard men.
And what are the rest of us supposed to do? Thea asked, arms folded.
You, the Game Master began, setting the tip of the stone sword on the ground and leaning over it,
will be my rapt audience.
You've been listening to The Giant's Gamble by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Storm King's Thunder D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes. You can also subscribe to my podcast so you can keep hearing stories by me. Thanks for listening.